Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Land. This is Salita from Handling the Business Series. This is November the 20th, and I'm here on a chilly night here in DeVille, Louisiana. Yeah, the good old state of Louisiana does get cold. I would like again to thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to air my show here. I want to also hope that everyone accept my apology for my show for Halloween Eve, which I did not do. My husband surprised me when he planned a trip for our anniversary. So you know how we are women. We have to get out there and get our stuff together before we go on our little trip. Now, tonight I would like, let us get down to some good business. First of all, congratulations, President-elect Obama, Barack, that is, and Michelle, and the two young lovely girls that he has. It's time for us. Stop losing. We need to rise to the top now. We have that person there to make things happen. When you go out there into the public eye, we're supposed to be examples of what we can be, not where we at now, but the betterness of us all. I think now this is my third segment, and I'm thinking a lot of people probably do not know me, and that's because I haven't really described myself to you as far as who I am and what I am about, and what this show is about. Tonight we're going to go in a different area, and since we have a president who is an African American who will be taking office in January, I think it's time for us to do our part to make our lives better for us and not depend on others to do it for us. We do have hope on our side in every aspect of our lives, and I think it's up to us to make things happen for us. Now, back to getting to know who I am. First of all, I can truly say that I am glad to be here. I was born in a home of a single parent. I am the middle child of five girls. We were raised in Albany, New York. We moved from New York to Michigan, and then we moved here to my mom's birthplace. After graduating from high school, I then left for the military, but not before giving birth to a handsome little boy. Leaving him at the age of 18 months was one of the hardest things I had ever done. But being who I was, and I was determined not to become a statistic in this small town, I soon after went into the military, and I wound up in Germany. I came home, I picked my son up, and he began traveling to different duty stations with me. He even had the greatest opportunity. He moved to Panama with me. And during Operation Just Cause, my son was there. But at the time, we were in two different areas. I was in the jungle, and he was back at the house with our maid. Yeah, I said maid. They have live-in maids in Panama. I thought that was, like, great. When I got back to the States, I was totally spoiled. I decided after Desert Storm and Shield that it was time for me to make a change for myself. I got honorable discharge from the military, and I devoted my time to raising my son and trying to find a different way I wanted to go in my career. That was a very hard decision for me to make because the military literally raised me from an innocent, well, not innocent, but how would you say that, naive little girl to a woman. So it was very hard for me to leave the military. And when I left, I felt so abandoned in some ways, lost. You know, when you've gotten somebody waking you up every morning, someone telling you how to do this and how to do that, it is very hard to adjust to a change. So it was very hard for me to adjust back into civilian life. As you know, I am a veteran. I work for a federal agency, which I cannot mention. I am the vice commander of my American Legion post. I can congratulate myself on the idea that I am the first African-American woman who held this position for this post. As an employee and part of the union, I am a steward, so it takes a lot of my time. I conduct forums for my American Legion post. I talk to members. I work with veterans on a daily basis, trying to keep them informed on the upcoming things that come out that they don't get an opportunity to talk about or find out about knowledge of. My hobbies are reading, writing, teaching, and most of all, I love to talk. And I love to talk about anything and everything because I'm always having my ears open and my mind open to different things. I'm very open-minded. And I know my way is not always the best way. Sometimes people come up with great ideas, and me, I'm going to say it's a great idea. If it doesn't sound like it sound to me, I will say it. And being able to meet other people, being very public sometimes, I love doing that. I love just encouraging others to take on your dreams, make things happen for yourself. Only you can do it. And that I've always been that way. Let's see. I decided to get married at the age of 38, which was a big step for me after being single, after being a single parent for 18 years. At first, because I considered myself a very self-sufficient woman, I had to get used to allowing my husband to take the reins on a lot of situations in our marriage. After 7 years of being married, I can truly say I'm at a point in my life where I am happy. And for a person like me, if you know my true personal background and the things that happened in my life, this was hard for me to come to this decision. And in my marriage, what I find that works for me is that I am sarcastic. It's just my personality. And I'm sarcastically funny at times. And my husband loves that so much that he has picked it up, and we laugh at each other all the time. Once a week, we have a play date. He calls or I call, and we pick a place that we want to go eat. And we sit and eat, and we talk about what happened in our work today or that day, or talk about worldviews on stuff, you know, our opinions on how we see things, news that I don't get a hold to that he does, news that he don't get a hold to that I do, and we kind of share that back and forth, and it really helps out in the relationship. We only have two dogs that we come home to, so to me, you know, we don't have to rush home and take care of this and take care of that. We just make sure they're fed and walked and you know, rested by the time, you know, the day ends when it's time for us all to lay down. Now that you know somewhat about me or something about me, let's talk about what are we going to do to change the things in our lives. Can I mention some things that I've noticed and I would like to see us as women and men get together and change a little bit? I wrote this kind of a little, not speech, but something that was on my mind, and I thought it would look great on paper and it would even sound better on paper than me talking. But then when I read it, I realized that, dog, it really does sound good. And I would like to kind of inform, you know, or just kind of wake up our consciousness on seeing what we're doing as people, as women, as men, as husband and wife, as boyfriend and girlfriend, the things that we could work on to change what we need to do for ourselves as African Americans. And I'm kind of called it black on black crime. Please understand, I'm not speaking of the crimes that are committed and prosecuted in the judicial system. I'm speaking of crimes that we inflict on each other, crime against love, relationships, the soul, the mind of our people. I would like to start speaking to the women first. Listen up, women. Understand this. Do you truly know who you are? Do you know that you come from a long line of royalty? Your heritage is of queens that had subjects bowing down to them, who had kings that adored and kept them dressed in gold and silver and diamonds, who would lose their lives for them, who had their kingdoms hanging on to every word that they said. Do you really know who you are? Stop allowing others to take from you what is rightfully yours. Let me repeat that. Stop allowing others to take from you what is rightfully yours. Teach your young daughters about their history and their mark on the world. Teach them about who they are now and who they can become in the future. Teach them about their bodies and how important it is for them to take care of themselves physically, emotionally, and mentally. Let them know that their bodies are theirs. No one controls them but them. Stay interested in everything that they do, such as their education. Teach them at home what they need to know when they come out into the world. I want to repeat that again. Teach them at home what they need to know when they come out into this world. Let them understand that having a baby lasts forever, not until the baby is 18. Remember, they're never, ever not your children, no matter how old they are. You still have to take care of them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Believe me, I have a 25-year-old, and it amazes me. But I love him, and he loves me, and to me, that's all really, truly what matters. And he does take heed to some of the things I tell him, and it makes me feel proud. Stay interested in everything they do, such as their education. Teach them at home what they need to know when they come out into this world. We've already discussed that. I'm sorry, I got just a little bit distracted there for a second. Hello? Take responsibilities for your situations. Mothers, stop having these babies and dumping them on their grandparents. Take responsibility for your own babies. Remember that they are most likely the only person that baby, that you are most likely the only person that that baby will see or be influenced by. I'm sorry, I got a little bit distracted here. So just give me a little chance to get back where I need to be. Sorry again for that. Stop having all those babies from different men, women. Again, your body is yours. Take responsibility for your actions. Do you know that every time you have sex unprotected, you have a greater chance of contracting AIDS, HIV, and other sexually transmitted diseases? Do you know we are losing our black queens to AIDS by the thousands? So when will you wake up and take control? Stop all that unnecessary drama in your life. I want to repeat that too. Again, stop all the unnecessary drama in your life, especially when you have kids that are truly affected by it. Get yourself together. Stand up. Stand tall. Stop worrying about that man who you are not married to or who is not bringing anything to your table or anything in your life. Let me say this, but his penis. I want to say that again, and there will be parts in here I will stress. Men who are not married to or who is not bringing anything to your table or anything in your life but his penis. Stop taking care of grown men who are not the father of your children, who are abusive and who can't keep a job, who are abusive and who cannot keep a job. My sister always said this. You don't need a man. You can hang a pair of pants on the wall. You know, you don't need a piece of a man. A piece of a man ain't nothing. And I'm getting kind of country there. But a piece of a man is nothing. I want a whole man because you know what? I consider myself a whole woman. Stop taking care of grown men who are not the father of your children, who are abusive and who can't keep a job. Tell him to go back home to mama. Stop letting him drive his boys around in your car when he doesn't have gas money. Wake up, women. It's getting late in our times. If you can't read, ask someone to teach you. You can go to your nearest library. Stop sitting at home watching soap operas. Remember, those people already got it together. Stop gossiping on the phone, keeping up mess. Again, what are you showing your young daughters? Stop shacking with men who can't afford to marry you or can't afford anything on his own. Again, what are you showing your daughters? No one doesn't owe you a thing. You owe yourself a better life for you and your children. Having a baby for someone doesn't make them stay or make them pay. Repeat. Having a baby for someone doesn't make them stay or make them pay. So stop sitting around waiting on a check. If you do get a check, spend it on the children, not getting your hair done and your nails done so you can go to the club to meet another daddy for your children. Remember who you are, who your heritage is. You are a queen. Stop calling yourself the B word, bitch, or the W word, whore. And stop allowing others to call you that word. Find a hobby. Turn that hobby into a business. You'd be surprised at what you can do. Make your hobby a legal one. Put down that weed in the beer can. Stop using profanity in front of your kids. Show them respect so that they can respect you. Remember, these are our future. Stop fighting other sisters over these knuckleheads that are not doing anything for either one of you. Stop fighting all together about anything. Always be the bigger person. There is enough violence in the world already. Stop going to clubs with your daughters. You can find other ways to bond. Stop dressing like you're young. Some things are not meant for us to wear after a certain age. Take time to learn something. It doesn't have to be anything magnificent. That will come in time once you understand what you want to do. Teach your daughters that some of the clothes that they wear are not appropriate, that they don't have to show their butts or their stomachs to get attention. There are other ways to get a positive attention from men. Instill in them that their education is much more important than their raging hormones. Now, I want to dedicate this to the men, or get the men's attention. First of all, do you understand every male child you produce is a legacy in a generation? So what are you doing when you spend time dropping your sperm all over the place, not looking back to see what's happened? Take responsibility for that member in your pants. It's yours. No one can trick you into using it. If you are not planning on staying in that baby's life, use protection. Our queens are dying because of lack of responsibility. Stop abusing and degrading our queens, especially the ones who stand by you even when you don't want to stand by her. They are not a piece of property. They are human beings. To make you feel strong, putting her down is not the answer, especially when you do it in front of your kids. If you can't afford to take care of the kids, do both of you a favor. Move on. Stop allowing women to fight over you when you have no use for either one of them. Be man enough to stand up and say you can't do it so that your family can try and help you through. Whatever it is that you need, that is usually what your wife is there for, your support system. Stop living with women. Get your own place. If you're dating, let her come stay with you sometimes. Look, get and keep a job. It's a survival. It's a self-esteem thing. Take pride in yourself. Remember, you have a generation that is watching you. Set example. Start your own business, but make sure it's legal. Quit hanging on the corners, holding your pants up and squeezing your crotch, smoking weed and drinking. Show your young men how proud they can be. Teach them their history. Let them know that they are kings, that they are a strong image of what is to come. Stay involved in their lives. So many of our young black men who don't have fathers. You consider yourself a man? Then stop allowing a judge to dictate to you what you have to pay to take care of your children. Remember, every child you produce, they cost money to survive, just like it costs your parents to raise you. The state or the taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for your responsibility. Stop sending yourselves to prison and then expect the woman to wait for you, sending you commissary and visiting you. She deserves better. Please don't get me wrong. If you didn't do anything wrong, then that is good that she's standing by you. But there are you out there that refuse to change and continually stay into trouble. What are you showing your boys? You can't do them any good by not being part of their lives. Break the chain and make a difference. Statistics show that there are more African-American kids in the foster care system than any others. Also, remember this, African-American kids are always the last to be adopted. Let me say that again. African American kids are always the last to be adopted. Keep that in mind. Stop preying on our young girls, no matter how they're built. Yeah, some of them got the big butts and the wide hips and the small waistlines and the big breasts. Remember, they're little girls. They're not grown women. And they are someone's little girl. Would you want someone thinking sexual thoughts about your little girl? You remember, you are a very important piece of this puzzle. Stand up. Protect what is yours. Teach the teachable. Reach the reachable. Be strong. Live strong. And stay strong. It amazes me how we as African Americans have that crab in a barrel mentality. Not all of us, but some of us. If you make it to the top, don't just take your friends. Take a stranger. You never know what that stranger will be. As you know, living in this part of the South, we sometimes suffer from that slave mentality. We're afraid to stand out and speak out, but we're always pushing someone else to do it because they're too afraid to step out themselves. We find ourselves being followers instead of leaders. We are the first to complain but don't have a solution and won't agree with the answer that was found. We need to come to an even keel with this whole situation. Stop being a problem and become a solution. Stop finding excuses for not sacrificing to make your life and your family comfortable and worth living. Nobody can live your life but you. As we read and hear the news, there are millions of people out of jobs. That means we need to be more creative and learn other ways to make ends meet. Sometimes we have to learn how to adjust and adapt. For some, that might not be easy. For others, they are already doing it. My heart goes out to all who have lost their jobs. I wish there was a way that I could help. I only can pray that something comes through and more jobs can be created and more people can get back to work. We who have jobs shouldn't complain. If you don't like your job, take the opportunity and the necessary training to learn what it will take for you to find another one. This is all about you. President-elect Barack Obama has proven himself. It's time for us to stand up and prove ourselves. It is up to us to make a change. We need to find common ground on what we want to change in our lives. And the change that we make, it needs to affect some of the public in a positive way. We need to be more involved in the community. I say this because I have. Formerly, I am a CASA volunteer, which is a court-appointed child advocate. I worked with the domestic violence program here in this area. I worked with the youth as a youth ministry. I've worked with youth even outside of that. These are my extracurricular activities that I find time to do, even while I worked a full-time job. I found time to spend time with the community to make a difference with the kids that I dealt with. I took them camping, something the kids had never done before. I've taken them on trips. In this area we live at, the kids don't get out much, but I did that. I even had a tutoring program going on. And please do not make me, I'm not trying to make myself sound out to be a but these are the things that I did for me. And to have my kids walk back up to me and tell me that I miss you, you did such a great job with us, to me that makes me proud. That means I made my mark. With my writing, I'm hoping that I can touch someone's heart somewhere. I can only talk about my situation. I can't talk about anyone else's. My situation with what went on, what I tried to do for my community. Sometimes you can do so much and nothing else can help. Some people are already stuck in their ways. They're not going to change. They don't want change, and they don't care who comes with the change. They won't change. And it's probably not our job to try to make them change. We do what we have to do, and we need to set examples. The other day, matter of fact, the day that Mr. Obama was had won for the election, one of my coworkers, which was an African American woman, surprised me and made a negative remark about him being picked. It shocked me, took me aback. And I just said to her, "Do you know your history?" That's all I could say. That's the only thing that came out my mouth was, "Do you know your history?" And I thought to myself, you know what? She's one of those. And I'm not saying that because I wanted her to vote for Obama. I said that because every African American, no matter how you feel, you should be proud. You should be proud. Whether you wanted him or not, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, you still should be proud. But I felt that she wasn't proud of who she was, and that's why I just said to her, "Do you know your history? Do you remember your history? Did you study your history?" And I left it at that. My relationship with that person is not the same, you know, because I realized that it took this to let me see really what this type of person is. I mean, how this person truly was. It just amazed me of the day after how you could walk around and nothing was said. Nobody cheered. Nobody said anything. We went in our office, a couple of us, and we got behind closed doors and we danced and we celebrated hard. But we couldn't do it in front of our customers. And we couldn't do it in front of the other coworkers because we knew what would have happened. But it felt good. And I even was proud enough to wear my Obama shirt afterwards because we couldn't wear it before. So we wore it afterwards up under my jogging suit. Because the first thing that came out of someone's mouth was, "Well, you're going to get in trouble for wearing that shirt." I'm always the one who always bucks the system. I'm going to try something different. And I did. And I felt proud, and I still feel proud. But see, my thing is, I'm not just beginning to do what I said I was going to do. I have already been doing it and still am doing it. I still encourage. I still am cheerleading some people on with the situations they're in. I have friends who call me all the time asking me, you know, how should I handle this situation? Believe me, I am not perfect in anything I do. I always say I am a jack of all trades, but master of none. But because I have the ability to do those things, to answer those questions, to know what I know, I am very proud of who I am and what I am and where I came from. I'm so proud of the idea that we have an African American for a president. And it's still, to some people, are still in shock that it really, really happened. And I believe some of the Caucasian people, they're in shock too, because they never thought this would happen. Not in a million years, not as long as I'm alive. But guess what? God is good. And what God had for Mr. Obama was for Obama, not for anybody else. It's his season. We need to sit back and enjoy. We need to be involved, stay involved, and make things happen. We need to come together as a community, as a United States. Make united mean something. We need to come together and rebuild our relationship with our allies. We might need even turn around our foes and make them our allies. And I think it can be possible. You have a lot of people that are very skeptical about what he's about to do. You got a lot of people that are afraid about what he's about to do. But you know what? We have to learn to roll with the punches. Everything is not going to be perfect. It's not perfect right now. We have so much. We have the worst jobless rate right now. We have unemployment high. Gas is the only thing that's going down. Foreclosures are still going on. Banks are folding. But we still have to know there's a brighter light. You know, there's always calm before the storm. And maybe we have to go through this. And it's about him seeing that he might not be able to solve all the problems that we have. But I think he can hit the key ones, and I think things are going to change. And it's going to take more than 4 years. It might even take more than 8 years. But I'm praying. I'm praying for his soul. I'm praying for his mind. I'm praying for his family, of their safekeeping in the White House, and that God watches over him, and whatever God has for him, and as long as he keeps God in his life, and that he asks advice of the Lord, because he's going to need that, that he makes the right decisions for us, and not only us, for the whole United States. I'm praying that God just opens up doors and opportunities for everybody who's been misfortuned and out of the loop for years. I'm hoping those people can be revived. I'm hoping they can stand up and stand tall and be proud. That's what I'm hoping. And with that hope and prayer and most of all faith, I'm guaranteeing that those things that need to happen for the United States to get back where we need to get, I truly believe it is going to take place. And I say this, all those haters out there, you can still hate. It's not going to change anything. Unless you get your hands in there and get your hands dirty and make things happen, you can be part of the problem. You can be part of the problem now and be part of the solution later. It's up to you which way you want to go. I choose to be part of the solution. I've chosen that long time ago. And I'm praying that what I do now will show in the future that it will make a difference in somebody's life. The things that I've said, the things that I've done, the people that I've touched, I'm praying. I am so much praying that somebody can use it somewhere in their life. We have to make a change. Victory has been won. What are we going to do with that victory? What are we going to do after January? What are we going to do? And it's so amazing that 40 years ago, Martin Luther King, and then 40 years later, we have Barack Obama. Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. And we don't have a reason to walk around with a smile on the face, even when we don't have a job. Even when we can't barely feed our family, but we have so much more to be so happy about and so proud. And we as African Americans, oh man, do we realize we are survivors. We are survivors. Do you know what that word means, survive? We have survived the most gruesome situations, the most hideous situations. Being whipped and beaten, kids snatched with umbilical cords still hanging from us so that we can continue to bend down and pick the cotton, raped, stolen, beaten and whipped with horse whips if we got caught reading. That's why I get so angry when I know that kids don't like to read and when the fathers don't like to read. Man, people die for the idea that you can pick up a book and you don't have to sneak. You can read on your own. You can comprehend on your own. You don't have to sneak. Think about it. And it's not about being in the past, but the past is where we're at now, and we don't change. In 2008, we still have KKK. So don't tell me that I'm sitting back in the dark ages. I'm not. I'm sitting in 2008, and we still have these problems. So I say to you right now, pick up a newspaper. Pick up a book. Get your kids together and take them to the nearest library. And spend time at the library with them. Don't just drop them off. You know, we do that when we do take them to church. We drop them off at church and we go back home to watch the game. Get dressed and go to church with them. Sit as a family together. Go to the library as a family. Go to the park as a family. And I know a lot of these homes are single-parent homes. But, Mom, you got to take time out. We know you're running a family. I was a single parent for a long time, for 18 years. But you have to understand, you have to do a lot of sacrificing. You have to. I did it. I'd be the only parent sitting at his basketball game. I didn't care. That's where I needed to be after work. When he was in ROTC, I was there as his mother. I didn't care if anybody else was there. My job was to be there to encourage him. Took him to the park. Took him to the library. Went to the museums. I did that because I wanted my son not to have a closed mind. I didn't want him to be uneducated. I wanted him to know more than just the average. I wanted him to read more. I wanted him to learn more, to see the world. And I'm glad I did that. It's nothing stopping you from doing it. I'm not saying get on the plane and go to Germany and learn the history. I'm saying look in your neighborhood. Look in any city. Get in your car and take a drive. The gas is down now, so there's no excuse. Everything doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg to do. Spend time with your child. Get off the phone gossiping. Turn off the television, watching your TiVo to get to your soap operas because you missed them today, or your talk shows, or your reality shows. Sit down with your kid. Spend an hour with him making sure his homework is done or her homework is done or their homework is done. Show them something. But in the process, you learn something too because you'd be amazed what children can teach you. They teach you a lot, very knowledgeable, very intelligent, but they need you to be the example. They don't need to be looking up for Shaq. They don't need to be looking at Kobe Bryant. They don't need to be looking at Tiger Woods. And they don't need to look at no rap star or no pop star, any music star, period. They need to be looking at you, you as a father or you as a mother or both. That's what your children need. That's the future. That's the one who's going to be signing off on our Social Security checks or paying us our checks, period, or giving us money doing transactions at the bank. Or making vital decisions of our lives. You have to be an example. Yeah, I understand a lot of you are out of work, but don't make your kids suffer for it. Don't make your kids suffer for it. Keep your head up. Keep making things happen for them. Because right now, it's about them. It's not about you. It's about them. Because you know what? We have to mold. We have to create their future. We have to spend time with them. We have to make things happen for them. It's up to you. Each and every one of you who are out there listening, look in your heart, look in your mind, open up your mind. Stop being closed-minded and stop sticking in your little area and your family. Look at other families. Help them. Be an example with your family for another family. Get to learn those people, or take something to them that you're learning in your family. Families should get together and enjoy each other. You know, it's all right about having your relatives and hanging out with your relatives, yeah. But get outside your little box. Come out behind that gate and see other people. See how other people live. You'd be surprised how much you can teach others and how much others can teach you. With the age of technology, computers, I mean, the news, you can watch anything you want on your computer. If you can sit there and play games on your computer or email people back and forth, you can sit there and read a good article. It's the same thing. You're reading somebody writing to you. You're seeing what the latest scores are. Go on the news. Go into the websites where there's knowledge, where there's stuff that you can learn or things you can tell your family. Get informative about things that are going to happen to you or things that have already happened to you. Be knowledgeable. Quit being so lazy. And I'm not just talking to African Americans. I'm talking to all. Put down the unnecessary things in your life and pick up the necessary things that need to happen in your life. I hope I have not bored you, but I am so excited that we can now feel good. We don't have to feel second-rated anymore. Those days are over with. We can walk around proud. We can walk around encouraging others. You know, it's just so amazing. And then we still ain't got it. We still, after 200 years, 300, 400 years, we don't have it. There is no excuse for us not to get it. Yeah, things are not like they should be. But guess what? You have to make the best of a bad situation. Hold your head up high. Look forward to that next day. Remember, you affect people when you're not even thinking you affect them. You might not be where you want to be, but guess what? You're not dead. You're still living. Situations are happening. It's up to you to change your path. Sometimes we set goals for ourselves, and things don't always work out, but don't get discouraged. Shake it off. Get up. Dust yourself off and keep walking. You might have to change your view. You might have to change your path. But that's fine. Do it. Make it happen for you. You are very important. You are your future. Your children are your future. And it's up to you to be in their lives. Women, and I say this because I love you, and I just want you to do the right thing for your children. It's not about the man you lay next to or the woman's husband that you lay next to. You know who I'm talking to. It's about you taking care of you and your children. Quit neglecting your children for your own selfish needs. Pay attention to their cries. Make them priority in your life. A lot of us don't. We're too busy trying to keep up with what Sylvia's doing and what Jennifer's doing, and we need to take care of our kids. We need to make them the priority in our lives. And only we can do that. Shake the men off. Men, it's the same with the women. Women, some of us are out there to nab and make a man's life miserable because we cannot handle our own insecurities. Remember the song, and it keeps reminding me, and it came to my mind, Erykah Badu, Bag Lady? Some of us got too much baggage, and some men don't want it. Get rid of your baggage. And I'm not talking about your children. I'm talking about all that unnecessary emotional crap that we go through at times, unnecessarily. Not talking about things that you have happened in your life and that you couldn't change it, but the stuff that we get aftermath or the stuff that we created in our minds and our hearts. Get it out. Your children, priority. Your children, priority. Your children, priority. Your children is your priority. Not you, not your man, but your children. Even if you're married, your children are your priority. Because you know what I always said, and I always said it as a single woman, when the man goes, who's left? The kids. So you need to set a standard for your children as a mother, as a guardian, as an example for them. You need to set standards. And there's nothing wrong with having standards high, not mediocre, but high and excellent. Because those kids look up to you. The kids are who, when you look at a child and the way a child acts, people say, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the mother. Yes, it does. A child's going to act just like you. Because guess what? That's who he's been around. And that's who has influenced his everyday life or her everyday life. So make that difference for your children. I hope I haven't been rambling. I just felt all of this needed to be said. I'm not finished. But I thought that needed to be said. And I say again, Barack Obama, I'm happy that now there's sunshine after the rain, the clouds are gone, and we can raise our heads up proudly and make things happen for us, our children, our future, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. And the amazing thing is, guess what? We were here when it happened. Do we have stories? Oh, yeah, we got stories. We got lovely stories to tell that we were here when we elected an African-American for a president. Such a wonderful thing. So to me, that gives me hope to know that we can change. We can do whatever it is that we want to do without any limitations. Never put limitations on yourself. Never put limitations on the things that you need to change in your life. Always stand up, stand proud, talk the talk, walk the walk. Set the example. Make it happen for you. Make it happen for your children. Make it happen for your generation alone. Pick up a newspaper. Sit down with your children and read. If I can read Sports Illustrated, if I can read the sports part of the newspaper, guess what? I can read the rest of the newspaper. I can teach my kids how to read the rest of the newspaper. Children are overloaded at school. They have a lot to learn, and they don't have enough time to learn it. So instead of them playing Xbox and the Wii, put that up for a second or two. Sit down with them at a table and read a book out loud, or get them to read the book to you. Ask them questions about the book, comprehension.
understand what you read. Because sometimes you get them to read, and that's what they're going to do, read. They're not going to pick up anything out of the book. They're just going to read. Well, teach them by asking them different questions about the characters in the book, what the book was about. Guaranteed you. That's comprehension. They'll learn exactly what it is they need to learn. We're coming down to the last few minutes, down to 4 minutes left in the show. I haven't decided my next show time, but I will be getting it set up. And it's because I have my hands in so many other things. I kind of calmed down with some of it, but some of it I'm still doing. So I have to find the time to put it together and get it out there to you guys, to air my, working on airing my next show and what it's going to be about or what it's pertaining to. I'm hoping to spend more time putting my radio show together. I have a couple of people that's interested in being guests on my show. I just got to figure out which date and time I want to do that on. Things are opening up for me with this, and that's why I'm just so thrilled with doing it. And I will be getting back with you on my next show. I also want to tell you guys I'm working on a new book, and it's called Are the Wounds Really Healed? And it's pertaining to three women who have been through a lot in their lives, and they stay connected as friends, and they talk about each and every one of their different stories and situations that's happening to their lives, dealing with domestic violence, sexual abuse, molestation, and how they've connected and become strong friends, and they've been friends for a long time. And hoping that this book can, when it comes out, touch the hearts of a lot of people. I'm working on that right now. I'm in the process of doing that. Like I said, I'm trying to work on getting my publisher to become a guest on my show. She's become a real good friend to me. We met at work. And she's been an inspiration, as well as I've been an inspiration to her. I just want to say I thank you guys for tuning into my show. Like I said, this is my third show. I'm proud. I'm getting better at this. and I'm hoping to speak with you guys again. We're going to make this show work. If anything, I'm going to make this show work. I had to do a lot of adjusting and changing around so that I'd feel more comfortable in what I do. And I'm thinking I'm getting there. So I would like for you guys to just look forward to my next show. And I can't announce it now, but I will have my segment scheduled on Blog Talk Radio. And again, I will say good night. And have a good evening. Have a good rest of the weekend, and we'll talk later. Good evening. Bye-bye. This is Blog Talk Radio, Salita from Handling Your Business. Thank you.